You're listening to LGRadio.online. Welcome to In a Lifetime. Left Dusty in the last episode, she'd finished her debut album, had jetted back and forth to New York a few times, and had completed a relentless gigging schedule. Once back from New York, Dusty was busy as ever, recording, doing TV shows, and then at the end of March, there was a quick 12-day jaunt down to Australia and New Zealand on a bill that also included Jerry and the Pacemakers and Gene Pitney. The following month, Dusty's debut solo album was eventually released in the UK, with the American market releasing a couple of months later, and it's their release that would include some of the tracks that weren't on the UK album, like this one, although it had been released on the EP of I Only Want to Be With You and reached number 13 over here. Dusty with her 1964 recording here on LGRadio.online with me, Leo Green, where we're remembering Dusty Springfield, who, as we are hearing, was a fantastic and contradictory mix of a star, who brought so much joy with her extraordinary voice whilst at the same time having to deal with artistic doubt, and in addition to that, also had to deal with a very staid and sexist music industry that wasn't really used to dealing with women who had clear artistic and musical visions. And it's also Dusty's song selection skills that play as big a part as her voice in her story. Even Frank Sinatra has recorded a few dodgy ones in his time, David Bowie has left us with The Laughing Gnome, and Paul McCartney has delivered the Frog Chorus. But looking through Dusty's catalogue, and with regards lesser songs, shall we say, there's not a single one.
How many tears do you cry if love should break your heart in two? How many tears will I cry now that I know I'm losing you?
Recorded that in 1964, and in September of that year, a significant event would shape her musical life forever. Riding off the back of American chart success with Wishing and Hoping, she set off to New York for a week of shows on a package tour. Also on the tour were many of her musical heroes, and the experience of sharing band buses and nights on stage with Marvin Gaye, Smokey Robinson, Martha Reeves, The Temptations, The Supremes was something that stayed with and affected Dusty musically for the rest of her life. The schedule also wasn't for the faint-hearted. There were six shows every day for a week, and the musicians on the tour remember fondly how, having sung her songs, Dusty would then spend the rest of each show spending as much time as possible on stage singing and joining in backing vocals with all the other acts. And Dusty adored Motown. And whilst seeing these artists work close up was undoubtedly one of the musical highlights of her life, equally the American acts on the bill loved Dusty's pure and original vocals. She wasn't getting up and trying to sound like them, and whether she would have admitted it at the time or not, whilst she certainly had been influenced by everyone from Peggy Lee and Doris Day through to Martha Reeves and Smokey Robinson, she very much had her own style. So whereas this song had been a huge hit for Marvin Gaye, listening to Dusty's interpretation, it's hard to believe that it hadn't actually been written especially for her.
I
Dusty displaying her absolute love of the Motown catalogue with a song that had given Marvin Gaye chart success in 1963. After the shows in New York with the Motown guys, Dusty stayed on to record a few more songs, which would come out in the October of 64. Don't forget, we're still in that incredible year where she'd already recorded her debut solo album, gone to New York to meet Burt Bacharach, returned to London, gone to Australia, back to London, and then flown back to New York. And there was more, because she hadn't finished with 1964 yet. There was still the small matter of visiting 21 UK cities in about 23 days to perform live shows before heading off to another continent. Having been invited to perform some shows in South Africa, Dusty agreed, but only on the condition that it was written into her contract that under no circumstances would she perform to segregated audience. She would only perform if the audiences consisted of both black and white fans. And obviously, this was at the time of apartheid, which she was hugely opposed to. And whereas the audiences were appreciative of her stance, the authorities weren't, and she ended up being escorted out of the country. Yet more evidence that Dusty was more than just the commonly referred to greatest soul singer we've ever produced. She wasn't just a singer of enormous emotional depth, but also a woman of great integrity. From Dusty's release from 1965, and it's another recording that shows she really didn't sound like any of her contemporaries. In the same year Some of Your Lovin' was released, 1965, Dusty was heavily responsible for and involved with one of the true milestone events of UK music. Having seen the announcement that the Motown Review was coming to the UK, Dusty immediately got in touch with the producers of Ready Steady Go and suggested they do a Motown special. Not only was the programme commissioned, but Dusty hosted as well. She was desperate that as many people in the UK should have the opportunity to see the Motown stars in action. Her trip to New York just a few months previously had had a huge effect on her musically, and it had also allowed her to form lifelong friendships with some of the people who were responsible for the music she adored. Now, it's hard for us to comprehend this now, but in the UK in 1965, for a whole primetime TV show to be dedicated to what many considered a minority music featuring black artists was, well, it was virtually unheard of. But Dusty's forward thinking changed British music in that it exposed some of the very best black music to a mainstream UK audience. People had never seen what Marvin Gaye, Smokey Robinson, or Martha Reeves and the Vandellas actually looked like. And of course, it meant Dusty could join in with the Motown artists and perform the song she loved. Dusty with Nowhere to Run To. And that concludes this episode of In a Lifetime with Dusty Springfield here on lgradio.online. Don't forget, our other In a Lifetime series currently available features the life and work of Elton John. Incidentally, if there's anyone you'd like us to celebrate in our In a Lifetime slot, please just let us know via the website where you'll find the message board, or if you'd rather, you can email me directly. The email is info@lgradio.online. Thanks for listening.